I hope that music didn't make you smile, Gorm.
This is season 6, episode 1, the No Smiles edition.
No smiling allowed. I hope you weren't smiling while you were laughing just there,
No,
Gorm.
I've perfect, you know, it's a frown laugh. It's more like a,
Yeah, it's
yeah, it was
like
like that.
a it's a dejected laugh, like you're bad to the bone. You know what I mean?
Yeah, oh yeah, I thought it was, you know, 'cause ain't that just the way? But
Just bad to the bone, you know?
okay. Do you happen to have a question ready?
What year was the song Bad to the Bone released?
That's actually a pretty good one. And I think you're gonna win because my music
Oh, I
knowledge is
have
not on point.
no idea. But
Well,
I asked the question, Gorp, so you got to guess first.
I guess we're doing an over under, right?
That's correct. Well, whoever's closer, yeah.
Yeah, okay.
Does that mean the same thing?
Pretty much, yeah.
Okay, yeah, that.
Bad to the bone. I'm gonna go 1986.
Okay.
All right.
B-b-b-b-bad guess.
I'm pretty sure. All right, what are you guessing?
I'm going 1976.
Okay, so
What year
all
did you
right,
guess?
86. So we got a
Okay.
10-year gap. All right, we're gonna
Here we
pause here.
go.
Yep, let's look it up.
What? Oh. Gorb wins.
It was close though. Turns out we both.
Yeah, 1982, year of the bad bones.
Yeah, classic.
And Gorb,
No
I
smiling
have an
that year.
admission.
What is it?
I think this episode is haunted.
Oh. Does that change
No
anything?
smiling.
Okay. All right.
So who's going first, Gorb? It's
You
Zorb and
know
Gorb
what?
classic.
It's I think I'm gonna ride out the last of my coronas and go first, and we'll just roll with that.
God bless.
All
Make sure nothing haunted happens
right.
because
Can't have any of
your
that
prompt.
ambience three. All right, you got your timer ready, right?
I had it. Hold on, just one second. I had it ready the whole time.
I know you did. That's
Yeah, you know, where's the faith? You know what I mean?
exactly.
Your prompt is to tell me the story of the Bad Bone Book.
Now that there is a classic tale. I got 22:33 on the clock.
22:33 on the clock, starting now.
So, you know, the story of the Bad Bone Book. What a tale. You know,
No smiling during this tale
it's
either.
got at least 6 chapters, and I'm pretty sure one of them is ellipses, but we'll
Oh
get there.
no.
The Bad Bone Book. To really, you know, explain the overview of this book in full, right?
Yeah.
From really going in on it.
Yeah, if you
I
want
think
to truly represent it.
I mean, yeah, you know, really get into let me give you a physical description of the book circa present day
What it
before
looks
I start.
like
Yeah,
now
what it looks like now.
in your hands.
It's not in my hands.
Thank God.
I know it's be bad. Give me some osteoporosis, let me tell you. So,
Does it look like, Gorb?
you know, when former Earth President or of America President Joe Biden got inaugurated, you know that Biden family Bible? So, like, imagine that, but like bigger.
Okay.
Yeah.
So it's a big Bible.
It's just, you know, it's large and unwieldy, I think is as much
Okay.
the
So we're
way.
just describing its size, not its appearance.
Well, I mean, size is a part of it. I'm
Could have
getting
gone
there.
with toaster sized.
It's bigger than a bread box.
Okay. Is it smaller than a duck?
A duck. Well, that's a weirdly shaped animal to compare to a duck, so I'm not going to touch that one. It's heavier than a duck.
Oh, there you go. That's
If you
important.
touched it, it would feel damp, almost slightly waterlogged.
Dank.
It's definitely dank. It smells like old post flood, 2 months post flood, not recent post flood, basement,
Oh, jeez.
and that like a carpet is
Sounds
damp
like a mold
too.
risk.
Oh, it's definitely a mold risk, definitely. And so,
So
just
you said modern day. Who, like, is there someone who's in possession of it, like, today?
yes, there is, but we're gonna circle back to that, and you're gonna let me know when I got 5 minutes left to circle back to that. So now that you have your, in your mind, this picture, it's got like a leather cover. The pages, they used to be like vellum. Now it's just
Is there
like,
any text on the front?
there was an engraving, but now it's just kind of like, you get like the white mold on a fruit first, and then you get like the green kind.
Yeah. It's just varying types of mold.
Yeah, it's mostly white. There's a little green. Like if you put it like near a dehumidifier in a house in Sedona, then it might dry up a bit, but for the most part it's kind of waterlogged
Yeah.
and large, unwieldy. I think we've covered enough of the physical descriptors here. So anyway,
Yeah.
now the title is covered in a soft fuzzy mold, not black mold, I think. I'm not an expert.
Yeah.
If you look closer and sort of feel it out with your hand, don't mind the mold now, it won't hurt you.
I promise.
You can read the title, which, I'm not going to try and butcher the Latin.
Yeah.
So I'll just give you the English translation. The title is Dr. Schmigobulus's Guide to Good Bone Health.
Okay.
Written circa, however they measured time, modern day would be about 234 BCE. If that
Oh,
makes
geez.
sense. Yeah, it was quite a while ago. And so circle.
What did he have a doctorate in back then?
What happened?
What did he have a doctorate in back then?
Excuse me. Bone stuff. There
Oh
was,
yeah, Dr. Shmigubilius.
I mean, well, back then, I'm pretty sure
No one
Rome
even
was a
knew what a
thing.
bone was.
They knew what bones were. They, in fact, they
Not giving
definitely.
Dr. Shmigubilius enough credit, Gorb.
Thank you. There were two types of doctors back then in the Roman Republic, or maybe the Etruscans. I don't really know.
Something like that.
Yeah,
The
Italy.
Rome Truscans.
The Rome Truscans, they were a small tribe up to the northwest.
There you go.
They had two types of that. They had blood doctors and bone doctors
Yeah.
and chiropractors.
I
That
think that's three, but
practice,
that's fine.
it goes back very hard, far. It's got a surprisingly long history.
Yeah.
So the Rome Truscans in northwest Italy, central, and then just go to the northwest a little bit. Dr. Sh what did I call him?
Shmigublius.
Schmigoglius, wrote his treatise,
Okay, that's
Dr.
where he wrote it.
Schmigoglius's Guide to Great Bones in 234 BCE.
Yeah.
Now, let me tell you a little bit about Schmigoglius.
Yeah.
The man had terrible bones.
Oh no. Well, he was motivated to learn.
He was very motivated to learn, he really, and so on this, this journey of educational, reading rainbow-esque, experiences, Dr. Schmigoglius was actually, I don't know if you've read the Odyssey recently. Pretty sure that's the same time. Probably
I
not.
read it once a day.
Exactly. There's that line on like page 312. Where Odysseus, there he's tying himself to the mast, to hide from the sirens, and Dr. Schmigoglius, who just happens to be a stowaway at the time, says, "Don't forget to watch out for your bones."
He says that during the Odyssey.
Yeah, I mean it's not in every edition, but it's important. He was an important character. People broke bones on that ship. They needed a trained doctor.
They would have broken more if it wasn't for him.
Exactly. So Shmugugli has traveled quite a bit. Time
Yeah.
check. Okay.
15 minutes.
Shmugugli has traveled quite a bit. You know, he
Yeah.
was born with incredibly brittle bones. One day, his childhood friend, John, that was the name back then. The Rome Truscans had different names than the Romans.
Yeah.
Yeah. He asked Shmugugli why he didn't want to come play, and Shmugugli said, "My bones." And then they just hit him, you know?
Oh, jeez.
It didn't help his
Did you
bones.
just call him his friend?
It was a different time. People were rougher back then.
I do like you, though.
It's only going to make you stronger, Shmugugli. And it did for a while, right? You know, all
Yeah.
the constant breaking and resetting. I mean,
The
the
first
man
ever bone strengthening techniques.
had, yeah, he had incredible amounts of daily pain, and his posture was horrific.
Yeah.
You know, from 300, that other thing, that's what he looked
Like
like.
hunched over-ish.
Yeah, it wasn't good. He made a,
Is
you know, Notre Dame
he a
hunchback.
hunchback? Yeah.
Yeah, well, he made the one from Notre Dame look like Orlando Bloom. And so Shmugugli eventually, he's had enough. I mean, he loves his friend John, the Rome Truscan, but he just can't take any more daily beatings.
Yeah.
So, you
It's
know,
like our friendship is great, but not worth this.
you're like, we have such wonderful conversations, but I just can't take another beating.
So sad.
It was rough back then. He said, "I want to come back though, John. I want to
Yeah.
be like a brother. So I gotta find a way to make my bones stronger so
Yeah.
I can, you know, can take some more beatings or maybe just go out and play."
Yeah.
And you know, John just, you know, slapped him on the back and said, "Good luck, Shmugugli." It
Oh,
broke a vertebra,
I was
but
about to say.
so all this is a roundabout way to say Shmugugli boarded the whatever the name of the ship Odysseus was on. They made like a brief stop. It's in one of the more minor chapters in Rome Trusca. You know, just to like, I don't know, pick up fresh fruit, maybe.
That's what they're known for.
Exactly. Yeah, no, they had a lot of lemons. They were very good at lemons.
Citrusy air.
Yeah, it was very no scurvy there, which is kind of ironic because
Lowest scurvy rates.
ironic because of the bones, but you know, they had great teeth.
Win them all.
Can't win them all. And so Shmugugli went on this voyage. And so, you know, we all know the tale of the Odyssey. Eventually they get back to, what is it, like Theseus or whatever? I don't know. They get home. Shmugugli hops on another boat. He goes to Egypt. He goes to India. He goes to China.
Just
He's
for like
traveling around.
research?
Yeah, looking for, I don't know, bone stuff, you know?
Anybody here know anything about bone stuff?
That's how he actually did it. When he showed up in whether it was Cairo or Beijing or Mumbai, he would just say in the local language, "Does anybody here know about bone stuff?"
For
You
that
know,
time period, he was really well
he
traveled.
was very well traveled, you know. And despite all of that, though, his bones were just every day it got harder and harder, right?
Yeah.
Time check.
12 minutes.
12 minutes. So, Dr. Shmugugli, you know, author of Dr. Shmugugli's Guide to Great Bones. You know, at this point, let's say it's like, I don't know, time goes backwards in the BC, right? Two 46
I
BCE.
think that's where we started.
No, he wrote it. He wrote it, and I'm pretty sure I said 234,
234.
right? That sounds right. So 46 would be what? Like before that, I'm pretty sure. I don't have the book
It's
on.
later. Okay, that's all you gotta say.
It was before he wrote the book.
Yeah.
And Shmugugli was somewhere on the island of Java in Indonesia. It's a damn shame he didn't devote his time to making maps, but you know.
Yeah, I know,
Kind of
right?
saved a lot of hardship along the way.
He was too focused on bones.
You know, that's what he said. He showed up in Jakarta and said, "Does anybody here know about bones?" And you know, as in most places, they'd refer him to a local doctor, shaman, whatever, you know,
Yeah.
bone expert. But just nothing was working. And so every year on this voyage, on his epic travels, his bones seemed to get weaker and weaker. And so on the
Oh,
island of
jeez.
Jakarta, or no, the city of Jakarta and the island of Java in Indonesia, Dr. Shmigulius had a revelation. Time check.
Ooh, 10 minutes.
10 minutes. Shmigulius realized that the one person in his life who ever helped his bones. Do you want to know who that was, Zorb?
It's gotta be John.
It was John the Rome Tuscan.
It
So
all ended at the beginning.
it did. What a roundabout way. He said, nobody knows more about bones than John the Rome Tuscan working
How many
on
years had it been since he'd seen him?
the. Yeah, I mean, definitely a few. I can't imagine it takes quick to
I
go
mean, to
from.
travel to Mumbai and
Can't imagine that's a quick trip.
Beijing.
Let's go. It's been at least a decade, probably more.
Okay.
And it's going to be about 5 years to get back, too. So once he has this revelation, he sets sail immediately. He catches like a boat. They stop in like the, you know, Madagascar, go up the Horn of Africa, all the way around so they
How
could.
did he fund all these trips?
He was really, really good at cheating at cards. Because he couldn't go out and play with John and the other non-bone boys, he practiced cards, dice, and other various games of chance quite a bit.
Yeah.
He was quite a master of sleight of hand. So that's what he would do. He would
He
go
could
into a
count
city.
cards.
Yep. Well, no, he, I mean, he just cheated. Like, he just set them
Yeah.
up as his arms are so weird looking. There was like a lot of places to hide an
Nobody
extra
could
card.
either accuse him or see his sleight of hand.
Nobody can see it. He's a master of deception. Not of movement, but of deception.
Yeah.
So he'd go into a city like Mumbai or whatever Mumbai was called in 246 BCE, and he'd be like, does anybody know about bones? Maybe he'd go to a meeting, maybe not, with a local professional.
I
He'd
just
get
picture him
nowhere.
walking into the town square and being like, "Does anybody know about
That's
bones?"
exactly how it went. I mean, sometimes he'd find a translator. Other times he'd just say it in the local language. Sometimes he'd just, you know, scream and point to his disfigured arm, you know, and make
It
motions
got
for help.
across one way or another.
Exactly, you know, and then usually it ended up nowhere. So he'd be dejected. And then, you know, he'd go cheat at cards, dice, chess, whatever game of chance he could. And he'd be out of the city the next day.
Any game of chance.
Any game of chance. The man was a master cheater. Now, that said, he couldn't really stay more than 2 or 3 days because it became pretty obvious that he was cheating.
Was another reason why he was well traveled.
Was so well traveled. Time check.
7 minutes.
Oh, God. So, Dr. Shmigulius goes all the way back. You know, he stops in whatever the main port in Madagascar is in 246 BCE, Zanzibar, you know, up the Horn of Africa, through the. I don't know if the Suez Canal definitely wasn't around, but that little land part, he just got out and, like, you know, pushed the boat with the help of some friends back into the
Okay.
Mediterranean.
He's got
And
strong friends.
yeah, they had like it was a pulley system. It was they were making money off
Oh,
those
there you go.
tariffs back then too. When he got back to the Mediterranean, he finally pulls in to Rome. What was it called? Rome Tresca? Rome
Yeah,
Usca?
there you go.
Yeah, I mean, it's been conquered by Rome now, probably, maybe,
Yeah.
something.
It
But he knows where his town is. You can
yeah.
smell the citrus from a couple miles away.
Yeah, it's a
It's
dead giveaway.
very, very lemony. Time check.
6 minutes.
6 minutes. So Dr. Shmigulius arrives back in Rome Tresca, and he says, you know, he goes looking, and he says, please. He can't find John for the life of him, right? The city's
Yeah.
changed. It's grown. Lemons are a booming business. Not to mention the world, you know, the trade contacts, you know, with his stories. You know, they're shipping lemons to Cairo, to, you know, Baghdad. He's opened up a lot of avenues.
Precious resource.
You know, they used to call it the Bone Road before it was called the Silk Road. And eventually he just goes to the town square and he says, "Please, can anybody help me with my bones?" And then just there, an old grizzled lemon salesman on the side of the plaza looks at him and he says, "Schmoogoogly," and then just throws a lemon directly at his skull. And he it nice and solid. And the
Yeah.
next thing you know, it starts to heal again. And after a few more beatings, I'm starting to get some structure back in these bones. Sound check.
We're gonna ignore that this premise is problematic.
We're gonna ignore it. It was
The
a good
beatings are worth it, I promise.
listen. It was he went into it willingly. He was trying to reset his bones. Time
Yeah,
check.
there you go. 5 minutes left, by the way,
Okay,
with the
perfect. Here
modern
we go.
owner of the book.
So, yes. So, anyway, that's the story of Dr. Schmigublius, the Rome Etruscan, who in 239, 10 years after Jakarta, and his bones are feeling stronger. He's definitely not looking great, and it hurts. But, they don't
But it's
break
not
anymore.
as bad.
They've been conditioned by his good friend
Yeah.
John the Rome Etruscan, wrote his book, Dr. Schmigublius's Guide to Great Bones. Now, here's where we come back to the modern day.
Yeah.
So, the book, it traded hands. It was very unwieldy. Also, osteoporosis to that degree was much more rare back then than I think, it is now maybe. It didn't
Yeah.
get copied a lot. Like, there was more emphasis, I think, on copying, the works of Plato or the Bible, than there was on
Yeah.
getting yourself your hands on a Dr.
What
Smigublius's Guide to Good
was
Bones.
the contents of the
A description of different postures for being hit by a friend named John or not John if John is not available. How to set your bones after being hit. How many days to wait before you get hit again. How to make lemonade. That was the
is a
first little
bonus.
chapter. Yeah, it was a bonus, free content. time check.
3 minutes and 40
Okay.
seconds.
Anyway, I'm gonna speed this up here a bit.
Yeah.
Long story short, the book did not get copied a lot.
Yeah.
So that was how, in the year 2022, young Dr. Julia Retruscan, maybe
Yeah, there
it
you
was, I
go.
don't know, that sounds right. Words change
Yeah.
all the time. She was on an archaeological dig somewhere to the northwest of Rome.
Oh.
Looking into rumors of a vast lemon-growing civilization with impressive trade contacts
Yeah.
thousands of years ago. And she came upon this chest in the archaeological dig. Now, there's something to know about, what did I call her? Julia Retruscan or whatever.
Yeah.
She's got terrible bones.
Oh no.
Yeah, and so she's scheduled to go in for a new experimental treatment, like next Thursday. Let's just say that, she's going to
Yeah.
take a bus to Rome. It's the modern era. There's planes. But
Yeah.
before that, she digs up this book. And she's fluent, in ancient Latin and Rome Etruscan.
Yeah.
So she reads it. She devours it. Time check.
2 minutes, 20 seconds.
Okay. She devours this book. She finds it fascinating. She's like, wow, this is another guy. Had really bad bones. And it
He
seems
gets
like he's
me.
found the cure. And she's had mixed results with experimental treatments in the past, right? And
Yeah.
she's better, but it's not, she wants more. And this is the 2022s. People are rejecting modern medicine. Not necessarily the best idea. We'll circle back to that. But so she thinks there might be a cure in here. In Dr. Schmigublius's Guide to Great Bones. Time check.
1 minute, 30 seconds.
So she reads it. She makes herself a cup of lemonade halfway through, finishes the book. She goes to her friend's place. Her friend's boyfriend's name is Juan, and she's like, "That's close enough. Hit me, Juan." And he says, "What?" in Italian. Anyway, he just hits her. Time check.
1 minute and 14 seconds.
And Julia Retruscan falls backwards.
Oh
and she breaks her spine. Oh my
Oh
God,
my
the bones
God.
are shattering. And Juan's like, why did you make me do that? And his girlfriend's screaming. They're like, do we call the police? He's like, I don't want to go to jail. What happened? So eventually she is airlifted to the nearest hospital in, let's say, Milan. We're somewhere to the northwest. And the doctors say, what were you doing? And she was like, I'm trying to fix my bones. And she was like, I read it in a book. We're like, what book? The Bad Bone Book? And that is how Dr. Schmigouglis's Guide to Good Bones maybe was the best medicine you could find in 246 BCE, but there's better alternatives.
Was tried in the modern era.
There's better alternatives in the modern era, as Julia Retruscan found out. Whew.
Oh boy.
Okay.
Oh, here we
Yeah.
go. It's a haunted episode.
Classic. Everybody be careful of your bones.
I just need someone to hit me so I feel
Well, no, the point, the moral of that story is with modern medicine, there's better options.
Yeah, that's a good moral.
And that, I guess, the extensive trade was much better than we imagined back then. Anyway,
Ready for my prompt.
your prompt with 22 minutes and 33 seconds on the clock is tell me about the time Pope Chuto learned he could fly. Go.
Pope Chuto?
You know what? Do with what you will. Yeah.
Okay.
Be careful, it might be haunted.
Our story begins deep in like the fourth or fifth level down of a tomb. Okay.
Oh, where's the tomb?
This tomb is in an undisclosed location that is mostly redacted, but we know it was somewhere in like Eastern Europe.
Okay.
Okay.
Yeah.
There's a group of four, let's call them adventurers, but
Okay.
really what they are is tomb raiders. Okay.
Oh, okay. Thieves.
Their names are Slander,
Okay.
Bourbon,
Okay, slander, bourbon.
Slander, Bourbon, Rock, and Munch.
Slander, bourbon, rock, and munch.
That's right. Okay.
Waiting, undisclosed location, tomb, four levels down.
So Slander is like their leader, right?
Okay,
And
yeah.
she is 45, kind of like auburn red hair.
Is she
Like
Eastern European?
she is originally from Ireland.
Okay.
Bourbon is kind of like a big German guy.
Okay.
Rock is a big Austrian guy.
Okay.
And Munch is their 11-year-old who tags along.
Wait, who's
Okay.
11-year-old?
All of theirs.
Okay.
They're like a traveling circus of
Oh,
family.
when they're not robbing graves. Okay.
Yeah. Listen, they gotta make a living, okay?
Yeah, no, that's fair. It's yeah.
Basically, Munch was at the local medieval bar.
The medieval
Okay.
times in Bulgaria.
No, it's like a medieval themed bar, but this is
Okay.
like in the 60s, okay?
Oh, so
In
this is the
Eastern Europe.
60s. Okay, all right, yeah. Wait,
And
they got
Munch,
behind the
an
Iron
11-year-old,
Curtain?
is let in there because he looks old, okay? But he's short. He has facial hair.
At
And
11?
his teeth are all wrong.
Okay, all right.
Okay, Munch is in the bar having a bourbon. Not Bourbon. Who is one of his dads, okay?
He's having a bourbon with his beard at 11 in the medieval themed restaurant somewhere in Eastern Europe.
With his fa one of his father's bourbon, okay?
Okay.
It's a kind of like polyamorous family thing,
Yeah, okay.
okay?
Yeah. Yeah, that makes sense.
Bourbon is also drinking bourbon.
Ah, yes.
And Rock is there too, okay? They're
What
all
is Rock
drinking.
doing?
Also drinking bourbon.
They serve
Okay.
bourbon at the medieval themed restaurant.
It just looks medieval. They serve all kinds of drinks.
Just in an old house.
Yeah, listen, they gotta be multi-themed to make their money. Okay.
Yeah.
Slander comes in and is like, guys, they're like, what are you doing? Like, come on. This is all a flashback, right? And Munch like looks at her and like does like the whisper finger, right? Because they're like eavesdropping, to the conversation one bench over, okay?
Okay, yeah.
And they hear Skinny Nick. Okay.
Is Skinny Nick a local or
He's like the local like trashy guy, okay?
the local guy?
He's Skinny Nick, okay? Skinny Nick is just talking to like a group of like five or six people one table over, okay?
Okay.
He's like, listen, what I'm telling you is the truth, okay? They told me this exact spot. The exact spot I'm telling you, and nobody's really listening to him except
It's yeah.
for Rock, Munch, Bourbon, and now Slander, who has like come in and sat next to them.
Did she order a bourbon too?
I mean, what would you expect? Munch was raised on bourbon, okay?
Explains his oddly shaped teeth and prepubescent facial hair, I guess.
The rest of them look kind of fine, but Munch just a mess.
Did life
They
on the
did
road.
not do a good job raising him. He has good emotional regulation, but that's about it.
Oh,
Okay,
God.
so Skinny Nick's
Oh.
over here and he's like, listen, if anybody's got $500, I can tell you where the Peat Potters placed their treasure. And all these guys are like, ah, Skinny Nick, like, blah, blah, blah. They all kind of scatter,
Yeah, it's classic skinny Nick behavior.
And Skinny Nick just, starts to slink his way back to the other side of the medieval bar. But Rock grabs him, like, with one big, muscly arm and just sits him, with everybody.
Okay, yep.
And Skinny Nick's like, what do you want? Right? And, Rock and Bourbon, they both never talk.
Do they not
Okay?
speak the local language, or they just don't like to talk?
They're very stoic.
Okay.
They know what's going on, but
Okay.
they don't talk.
Do they
And they
speak to
don't help
Munch?
much with Munch. Okay.
Does
Now,
anybody help much with Munch?
Munch is pretty much has to help with Munch. He has to get his own bourbon at home. Okay.
Oh, God. Okay. All right.
Now, both Rock and Bourbon just are looking at him, right? They both have like these like almost like Jean Claude Van Damme like military haircuts.
German and the Austrian.
Yeah, exactly. And they just look like cut, right? They look
Yeah.
like they're,
They don't speak.
Yeah, and like basically Slander goes, she's like, tell us where the Peat Potters put their treasure. The Peat Potters.
Yeah, yep.
The Peat Potters
Yep.
are like a local traveling band,
Oh,
okay?
okay.
But they went missing recently, okay?
Recently, how many years ago?
5 years ago.
Okay.
Because they did a concert for the local royalty, okay?
Oh, they're
And the
still
rumor
royal.
is that they got paid a ton, but one of the Pete Potters, Slinky, like slept with the princess, okay?
Oh.
And that like the king and the queen, like she was in like a rebellious phase, and her and Slinky like ran away together,
Right,
okay?
just to clarify one more time. All right, I'm also gonna let you know this is your 14-minute warning. We're in the modern era though, right? It's 1960, right?
Yes.
Okay. They're just the local.
When I say the royal family, I'm talking about the owners of the people
Wait, so they just went to the back of the restaurant. How much did they get paid?
lot.
I guess this place
Okay,
has a lot
because
of
they're a
business.
franchise,
Oh,
okay?
okay, all right.
Now,
Like the McDonald's
when I
of.
say slept with, I don't mean like in a weird sexual context. I mean they literally slept in the same bed, okay?
Okay.
But here's the thing. The daughter, her parents are really big germaphobes. So
Oh.
basically, they kept her in her room in a bubble, okay?
Like Bubble Boy?
Like Bubble Boy. Okay. So basically, that's all suffice to say that the royal family of this medieval bar called Sir Johnstone
What's it called?
Sir Johnstone's
Sir John Stones, okay.
they had apparently paid like a huge lump sum to the Peat Potters for, basically playing at all of their franchise locations.
Okay.
Then Slinky popped the bubble of the daughter.
What was the daughter's name?
Omaria.
Omaria. Did
Okay.
she die because of like her
No,
inadaptive
she was
immune
fine.
system?
The parents just hated it.
Okay.
Okay. But then the musicians, the Peat Potters, went missing, and everyone thought it was
Sir Johnston's that did it.
the Sir Johnston's owners, but they said that they didn't do anything.
Oh. And nobody looked into it further.
Everybody still went to the bar because it's the only one in town.
Okay, all right. So that's
Okay, so
the
we're back in the bar.
flashback
And
beforehand.
suffice to say, they, start twisting Skinny Nick's arm until like he tells them where it was. Okay.
Okay,
They
yeah.
follow his directions and they bring him with them in order for him to like point out the exact location, right? He
Okay, that makes
points
sense.
to like this like tomb entrance that's coming out of a cave that looks like, from actual medieval times.
Okay.
Okay. And they hear a scream from within. Okay, and it
Oh.
sounds like Omaria,
The Bubble
and
Girl.
yeah, the bubble girl,
How do they
and
know what she sounds like?
she sounds a lot like Janis Joplin,
And they know that.
yeah, because she would play music with the Peat Potters. That's how her and Slinky knew each other,
She just
but
rolled
in
around with
her
a bubble.
bubble.
Okay.
She
All
was
right.
allowed to play the tambourine from inside her bubble, and she sang
Okay.
like Janis Joplin.
Okay. All right.
Okay, so they go like they go in. They're like, shit. Like, where is she? We heard her, and they don't hear her again. Okay,
Okay.
Skinny Nick is still with them at this point. They're on the second level down. They went down a set of stairs.
Okay.
Okay.
Is he restrained? Or are they just pulling him? They're making threats?
He knows if he does anything wrong, like bourbon
Rock
or rock
and
are gonna
bourbon,
just
yeah.
snap him in half.
No, it's fair.
Okay. Just
Monks
then,
watching him with his beady eyes.
they hear, "Help me! Help me!" So they're right. Okay. And
Oh.
Slinky is contorted on the ground. Okay. bones broke this way and that,
Oh,
and
just like out of the blue?
he's in the second floor of this like weird antechamber thing that they find themselves in.
Okay.
Okay, and he goes, "This is." He's like, "This is the, it's the." And they're like, "What are you saying?" And Rock for once goes, "He broke his bones." And Munch goes up to him and he's like, "Listen, I might have had a little too much bourbon, but tell me what's going on." Meanwhile, poor Slinky is just screaming. He's like, "Please kill me."
Oh
He
God.
is, all his bones broken in every direction.
This is going to be the
Finally,
bones episode.
Skinny Nick is like, "What's wrong with you?" And Skinny Nick's like, "Let me bring him to a hospital." And they're like, "No, we need the treasure, right?"
Oh, so they just leave
So
them there?
Skinny Nick like leans down close to him. He's like, "Slinky, what do you need me to do for you, Slinky?" And he's like, "End it." He's like, Skinny Nick's like, "What happened? Just tell me what happened and I'll help you." And meanwhile, they're just like, the other people are like looking at like wall paintings or something. They don't even care about him
Cave
anymore.
paintings?
They're
Okay.
drinking bourbon from a flask and they don't care about Slinky.
Sir Johnston's gives you carryout bourbon too.
Yeah. So, Slinky's just like, "This is the mausoleum and we're all dead." And he dies immediately.
God, this was in there
Okay.
for 5 years.
So this Skinny Nick's like, "What is happening?" Meanwhile, these other like this big family of idiots like keeps drinking bourbon. And they just keep going further. They make it to the third floor, okay?
Okay.
Skinny Nick finally like finds this other little hallway and he like runs off, okay? Now, suffice to say that that is the last time that we ever see the family, of Slander, Bourbon, Rock, and Munch, okay?
Oh, they're just gone. They're dead?
No one ever hears from them again.
So they just drank their bourbon and wandered off into the cave.
They went the wrong way, and that was that.
Okay.
No one really knows, or
So now
do
we're following Skinny Nick.
they?
Ooh.
Dun dun dun, but we'll
Dun
see. So Skinny Nick is in the third in the fourth floor
He's in the
all
fourth,
the way
back where
down,
we started.
and he finally hears, sounds like Janis Joplin.
Playing a tambourine.
Okay, and he like follows the voice. How much time do I have left?
You have 6 minutes and 43 seconds left.
Okay, and from over a loudspeaker he hears, "You get out of my labyrinth." He's like looking around. He's like, "What's happening? Who are you?" He's like,
Okay.
I'm in the walls." And he's like, "No, I see the speaker right here."
It's like some
He's
Wizard
like,
of Oz thing.
"You're in Pope Chodo's mausoleum."
Does he know who Pope is? That name relevant or
He has no idea who that is.
okay.
Okay, and he goes, "If you take another step, I'll have to bring out my snappers." Skinny Nick's like, "Okay, I mean, at this point, I'm still going to try and find her. I don't know what you're gonna just send out your snappers, fine." He's very flippant at this point.
It's
He's had
been
enough of the
a day.
BS with the Bourbon family. Okay. And just then, he continues down the hallway and he turns to his left, and down a corridor, he sees the Bourbon family and they are deceased. We'll
Oh,
just leave
wow.
it at that.
Did anything happen to their bones?
Cracked in every direction.
Oh.
Much like poor Slinky, okay?
Okay. Is he having second thoughts about the snappers?
He's like, I'm in so deep.
There's no going back now.
You know, he's not even, he doesn't have great spatial reason. He's not sure he could find his way out either. And just then, he feels a cold hand grip his ankle.
It
Time
lit in
check.
this cave? Does he have a light, or is it?
It's, there are torches.
Just mysteriously happen to be
Time check.
lit. You have 4 minutes and 26 seconds.
Okay. Just then, he like looks down the hallway and like by like the dim light of the torches, he sees just like a bunch of like weird rattling puppets. Okay.
Like Pinocchio-esque
Like
puppets.
Pinocchio, but like taller and lankier, and like the strings seem to be coming from the ceiling.
Oh, okay.
Right? And then he like looks up and he hears like he swears he hears like footsteps above him, right? And the, you know, at least four or five of these snappers are coming at him at like full speed and they're like cracking everywhere, coming after him.
Nutcrackers.
Skinny Nick lives up to his name. He is quite skinny, okay? And he feels like a hand grab his ankle, okay?
Yep.
And just then he just somehow knows with like a knack that it's gotta be Omaria, okay? And Omaria like pulls him into like this like under cutout
Like
thing.
a side alcove.
Yeah, and the snappers like run by and he hears the, from the loudspeaker, Skinny Nick, Skinny Nick, you're gonna make me fly, Skinny Nick.
Okay, all
Skinny
right.
Nick is like, do you mind telling me like what
What
the
the fuck is
fuck is
going
going on? And Omaria just like looks at him and she's just like, hey, yeah. And she starts like singing, okay?
How are
He's
her
like,
bones?
that's what he asks. He's like, what happened to all their bones? She just goes, the snappers, the snappers, the snappers. She's like lost it, okay?
Okay, yeah. Still got that
And she,
great Janis Joplin voice, though.
you know, he's the snappers.
Okay.
Time check.
You have 2 minutes and 14 seconds
Okay.
left.
So she goes, all he wants to do is fly. He's Pope Chodo. And then he goes, you know, Nick is like, who's Pope Chodo? I swear I recognize that voice. I swear I've heard that voice before. And Omaria looks at him in the eyes and she goes, it's dad. And he goes,
Oh, it's Sir
what?
Johnstonson.
It's Mr. Johnstone.
Johnstone.
Okay. And he goes, what? But what about your mom? And she goes, she runs the snappers.
I can't.
Okay. And Skinny Nick goes, who's running the bar right now? And then he's like, why would they want to kill their own customers?
Why are they keeping their daughter locked? Oh, maybe I do know why.
Why, Gorb?
Because there's less germs, I guess.
That's right.
Don't want to
Okay.
fly?
Slinky pushed them over the edge. And they're a bunch of rich psychopaths. So they keep her locked here in this weird mausoleum.
They just kept Slinky alive for punishment's sake?
No, they killed him.
Well, I mean,
They
after
tortured
5 years.
him and they killed him. And they just didn't like the Bourbon family because they're annoying.
That strange
Skinny Nick
11-year-old
got
walking
looped
around with
in.
them.
And I think you know where the Pete Poppers went too. Just
Bones?
then.
Yeah. You got 30 seconds left.
Just then, Skinny Nick hears the footsteps above him again. And he reaches his hands up. And he pushes his hands through the bottom of one of the floors because it's basically like paper mache. And he throws Omari's dad across the sky and he smashes his head into the wall and blood goes everywhere. And that's how Pope Chodo flew. And then Omari and Skinny Nick got married the
Wow. Beautiful. What a tale.
Oh, no.